Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Delighted to be joining me on the line, Thomas Ferry. He'll be telling us how not to, we'll call it, muck up your startup. How many of us had ideas? It's Monday morning. We're out there. We're going to go for it. We're going to make our millions before tea time. And Thomas is here to tell us more about it. Delighted to be joining me live on the line. Author of How Not to Muck Up Your Startup. Thomas, good morning to you. Hang on. Let me just try this again. Oh, sorry. How's that? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Ah, there we go. You see, I had to muck up your startup, had to muck up the start of your interview. I didn't press the right buttons. Tell me, a lot of us have these great ideas that we think, okay, I want to go into business. I have an idea to, do artisan pastries delivered by small houseboat. And I think this is a great idea. And yet, very few of them get past that sort of, not even sort of writing down on a piece of paper idea. So what's the plan behind your book, please, Thomas?
Yeah, so Lotto. So I think, so I fell into the world of startups. Someone approached me a while ago when I was working in the city and said, look, did you want to come and work at a startup? And I didn't even know what one of them was. And the notion of starting my own business always seemed a little bit huge and a bit impossible. And I think a lot of people can relate to having a great idea. Like every day you might go into a shop and think, oh, wouldn't it be cool if it did this? Or wouldn't it be better if it did that? You know, you have it all the time. And yeah, it just seems like such a huge thing that you can't possibly do, and almost like you don't have the rights to do it if you don't have an MBA or you don't have experience of working a startup yourself. And it became really apparent to me that that's absolute lies. At all. Anybody can do it. Well, I say anybody. Most people can do it. If you have the passion for it and you really want to, you can do it. And the first thing, and then as I delved into this, I started realizing that there are so many things that people do that and make the same mistakes, yet no one talks to each other about it. People just make such obvious mistakes all the time. And what people talk about a lot is about how to do something really, really well. And all of the books that are written by people who have made billion-dollar businesses. A lot of us don't necessarily want a billion-dollar business. It might be nice, but if you've got a billion-dollar business, that means that you have no home life, you have no family life, you're completely obsessed. And it's perfectly acceptable to build a business. It just gives you time, freedom, and personal satisfaction. And yet no one was talking to those people. Everyone was talking to, you know, your Elon Musks. Everyone was talking to your guys who have made these billion-dollar businesses. And it's really hard for me to relate to them. It's really hard for me to understand. It's also really hard for them to relate to my problems because they're not sitting up at, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, geez, how am I going to make payroll this month for my 4 staff or whatever? And anyone who's run a startup at the beginning knows that feeling. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to stop reading those books with, and they're amazing people who build these billion-dollar businesses, and I wanted to start interviewing people who are living the problem right now. What are they feeling right now? How do they solve these problems at the level that I can understand? And just from normal people. And so I interviewed over 100 people, and I just took their wisdom, and I just chucked it all in a book and made a step-by-step play about how to build something that can give you a fully functioning business and support your lifestyle.
Because that's one of the things, isn't it? Because I mean, we can all read Branson Losing My Virginity and all those ideas.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like reading Keith Richards if you want to play guitar. I mean, they're basically so far ahead, and they're on another planet. And as you said, I don't know, it doesn't tell me, you know, what permits I need, how do I, what is payroll, etc. Because we can all have a dream. You know, I'm going to make it. But the I mean, people open restaurants, people open coffee bars. They want to be baristas or something like that. But and they have this idea that it's going to be chichi and fine. Everybody can come waltzing in. But you have health and safety. You have union laws. You have this, that, and the other, and 101 million things. And that's before you even go to your startup and start trying to raise capital, if you even indeed you can.
Well, exactly that. And so that's the other thing as well. Trying to raise money is the majority of people who go into the space and raise money tend to be people who already have a really strong network. But what do you do if you don't have a really strong network? How do you then build one, which means that you're able to raise money? And actually, what's the message that I give to investors to make them actually interested in investing in me? There's a lot of VCs out there that will tell you what they want to hear, but it's not what they want to hear. You know, they're not giving, it's not really, it's like when...
What's the VC, by the way? Excuse my ignorance, because...
A VC is a venture capitalist.
Right,
and that's
you.
Someone who invests in early stage businesses looking for a huge return, okay? Rather than a bank, okay? So what they do is they buy part of your business in return for giving you capital rather than giving you a loan, okay? For example, you might take from a bank. And going out and trying to find those people, that's all well and good. But what if you don't have a network? What if you aren't, you know, some posh boy who's got a really good network of people you went to Eton with? Like, what do you do? And how do you build that network? People always say to you, oh, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But that's all well and good. But how do I go and meet these people? How do I get them to spend time with me? Why on earth would they want to talk to me? And so, yeah, we cover that in the book. And I was very lucky. I started to follow these best practices. And then I actually raised over $1 million just with a single LinkedIn post in the end, which was a great success. And I talk about that in the book.
Yeah. Just think, how do you build a network? Because, you know, our parents, our grandparents would have had a physical network, and you just dropped the L bomb in there, LinkedIn, which many people go, well, I've got Instagram, I've got Facebook, I Twitter, I tweet, I could even do a TikTok if you want, but this is where the serious thing is. And you can build a virtual network, can't you? If you know the right things to say and the right posts to do.
Yeah. So, like, when it comes to LinkedIn, like, I will talk about this forever. And the thing about a network is size is important as who is in your network. People always talk about, like, oh, I've got this. You might see an influencer on Twitter who's got 1 million followers, but how many of them do they have a real relationship with, and how many of them are valuable to them? Whereas on LinkedIn, you want to build you can build a network with very specific people in your specific industry. So if you're trying to raise money, you can just search for early stage angel investors. An angel investor is someone who gives money to a business very early on. And you can just build a list of all those people and connect with those people and build that audience. And then you know, and the great thing about that audience is, like, you have to go and connect with them. Whereas, you know, TikTok and Twitter, like, you don't know. They just follow you. And so it's proactive, and you can go and build that audience. Then you start posting content, which basically just makes you look amazing. As long as you're continuing to show value, and as long as you're continuing to show that you are credible in an area, if you're starting a business in a certain sector, by definition, you're an expert. The fact that you're doing it, you have something to share. If you have solved any problem, that's something that a problem that someone else is having, and that is of value. And that's what people forget when they're on LinkedIn. Is that every time, even right now, you talk, you're on the radio and you had a problem earlier with the sound and you with me not being on there, and you overcame that problem. And then you can put together a 3-step plan to make sure that every time a junior radio host or anyone who's brand new to the show has to go through the process, here's my 3-step guide to make sure that that doesn't happen. That's going to get loads of content and loads of people associating with it, because other people will experience those problems. And so I did that, and I followed that. And there's two rules to LinkedIn, and one is value and two is be consistent. Just keep going.
This is content is king, isn't it? That's one of the things that I've always would believe in any sort of media that you do. Are there many of, and I'll just, we'll just quickly, dragons, I mean, people that think, okay, well, an angel investor, they're going to come down from on high and shed loads of money. I mean, and then they go, oh, it might be a bit like, what was it, Dragon's Den or something? I mean, is it a frightening, where you have to put on a performance in your dancing shoes and go, look at me, I've got an umbrella holder or something like that, you know,
part of it is like that. Most of it happens over Zoom, or it might happen over a coffee, but there are parts of it where very much you are, what are you doing? You're sort of going in there and just really sort of giving a performance around how massive your business is. And by the way, if anyone takes away anything from this conversation about investment, my top tip to everyone is people who are investing in your business, okay, at the very beginning, first of all, they're investing in you, okay? It's not about your business. Also, it's not about your product. People always think it's about the product. It's not. It's about how much money they can make. So they're there to make a return on their investment. So what they care about is the opportunity for you to grow, okay? The problem you're solving is obviously important, but it's not the most important thing. People spend ages talking about a problem. And that doesn't matter if you have the best solution in the world, if that problem is to 10 people. You have to be solving a problem that affects a lot of people and they're willing to spend money on. So your story needs to be about how you're going to become massive and make that investor lots of money. Now, the truth about investors are, angel investors, is that they're actually quite nice. Yeah, I would say that I've probably done 500 pitches, okay, over the, and I would say of those 500, 20% I didn't like.
Okay, yep. Right.
Yeah, which like as a ratio of people, that's quite low.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about people you meet in your life generally. And so some of them are difficult. You get 90% of them will be no's, maybe more. 95% will be a no. And that's not because you're a bad person or it's a bad product. It's just that you're not right for them.
You mentioned this whole thing about investment and that all their interest is not interested in the fact that you're going to build the perfect widget that will conform, which will change the world of widgets in a way that never been seen.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you're going to give me this amount of money and I'm X and I'm going to make it X times 50 or 500.
Correct.
If you're a maths Luddite like myself, you know, who would still be at school if Rishi Sunak gets his way, I'll be there when I'm 65 because I will never going to pass my maths A level. So how important is it to have this grounding? And if you are colorblind when it comes to maths, should you just give up and go and do something else?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not very good at maths either. You have to have, like, I'm not going to, this thing that happens a lot on Dragon's Den, they're like, oh, you don't know your numbers. That's like, that's a myth. It's like, what was your turnover last year? What did you spend specifically on tax in month four in 2021? Like that kind of level. Like, you don't need to know that. You've got spreadsheets for that, which you share with people. I think it's about having enough to understand something called a unit economic. And that's when you understand, like, how much money do you make for every unit that you sell ultimately? So if I sell one widget, how much money do I make from that? And then you say, right, well, how big is the total audience of people who buy the widget? Okay. And so if I'm able to sell to a percentage of that audience, how big could I be? It's that simple, right?
It's that simple.
And you've got that in terms of the maths, and then you have to create a very clear narrative around how would you then get to that level? Okay.
Yeah. Should we call it this, that, and the other? What we've just been through, you know, pandemically wise, did it really make? Because people are saying, and now's the time you to do the things you should always have done in your life before. And so, are we now see more people going, yes, the widget? It's time for the Uber widget.
So it's really interesting. So COVID was actually a really interesting time for raising money. It was actually quite good, because essentially, if the capital markets are going up, investors who are individuals have more money to invest in other things. Okay. So when crypto was going up, you know, I personally did a lot more investing as I was heavily leveraged by crypto. But then when those markets go down, there's less money for people to be investing, or they're just a bit more cautious. And so although 2021 was a boom year for investing in 2020, 2022 was rubbish. Like, it was really, really hard. Yeah. And my own personal experience, like, it took me 2 weeks to raise money in 2020, and it's taken me 9 months in 2022. So yeah, it was, the markets have changed.
realism. How important is it to be realistic? I mean, you know, because you could say, I'm going to open that barista bar. I'm going to open that restaurant that serves only Peruvian Mexican crossover with a twist from Thailand. I mean, do you have to check your market? Because a lot of people have these dreams. They're going to go out there. But if there's no, unless you have seen a gap in the market that you are such a futurist that even the market doesn't know it's coming, you've got to know what you're talking about, surely.
Yeah, I do. The one message that is consistent across every single interview that I've given is talk to your customers. Like, don't live in a dreamland where you don't really understand what these people want. Okay, never make the assumption that because you want it, someone else does. Okay, like, it's not the case. You need to speak to customers. You need to understand your audience.
And also, customers, not friends, because your friends will go, your mates go, yeah, that's a great idea. I have done stuff. And my friends will go, yeah, I'll do that and I'll advertise. And when it comes to the thing and you actually put the thing out, they go, oh, well, actually, I didn't really mean that. And it's a bit tight at the moment. And you're like, you know.
It's a classic problem. It's a classic problem. I'm a nightmare. I'm incredibly enthusiastic and excited. And so people hate kicking me in the face and being like, actually, no, Tom, I don't think this is very good. And so they just don't tell me the truth. They're just like, yeah, that's a really good idea. And that's of no value. You need to go and talk to people who you think will probably say no, because then they're just going to tell you the truth. Okay. Because that's going to, it's much better to get the truth and then build something that people actually want rather than spending lots and lots of money and getting something that people don't want.
If you manage to get your investment from your bank, from a rich uncle, from an angel investor, the main point then, I suppose, is the danger then is thinking, great, I've got it made. You know, they've given me a slice of money. I mean, I always say, because I'm based in Costa del Sol, go to a lot of restaurant and bar openings because people think, oh, I want to retire and run a restaurant. Always an interesting move, that one. If you read Kitchen Confidential, you'll know why. And then I look over and I'll see this huge multicolored sofa that I know that somebody spent $4,000 on. And it's like, at that point, Watson, your project is doomed because you're spending $4,000 on a sofa.
So raising money isn't success. Okay. That's success at raising money. Again, that's not success at running a business. What you've got to remember is that money is a fuel, okay, but you have to build the engine. Okay. And if you don't have a product that people are wanting to purchase, then it doesn't work. And there's also no point building the fastest car in the world if it can't make a lap of the track without running out of petrol. Okay. And so I'm not someone who says, like, I do believe that growth, sales is the answer to all your problems. Sell more. No matter what the scenario is, just sell more. Okay. Because that's going to give you more fuel. But I think that people just need to be very, very conscious of the fact that, you know, if you're not getting customers to spend money with you, customers spending money with you is success. Getting an investor to spend money with you isn't success for your business. And that's the common misconception. And one of the problems we have in the world generally when it comes to startups is we celebrate much more people raising money. We celebrate raising money at huge valuations and huge amounts of money much more than we celebrate the businesses that are just running themselves off the back of their profits from the customers, because that's real success, because that's what a business is.
And also, you know, the other thing is it's what I call the grind. You've got to put the content in, the hours in, the whole thing. It's all very well saying, oh, well, you know, I made a fortune of crypto, or we sort of get seduced, don't we, in a society with influencers and everything is immediate, and people think, okay, I've made it, and why isn't it happening? You know, I did my 3 hours on the computer today and nothing's happened. But it is the duck, isn't it? It is a gliding gracefully above the water whilst underneath you are paddling like bleeding mad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look, I don't think it's good to promote that mentality of you can be really successful without working hard, because it's just not true. I also don't think it's good to promote like hustle porn, you know, where people are just saying like, just grind 24 hours a day. I think people know if they're working as hard as they can. Okay. And then people know if they're working too much. I think just be honest with yourself. Like, you have to get stuff done. Okay. You have to put the grind in. You have to work hard. Every startup in the world that looks good on the outside, I can tell you with absolute certainty, it's a complete calamity on the inside. Okay. And no matter how bad you think you're running your business, someone else is doing it worse. And no matter how well you think you're running your business, someone else is doing it better. Like, that's the nature of all businesses, because they're people who run them, and people are calamitous by nature. And so you get a group of people in together and it's never plain sailing, right? Okay. And I think if you, and what people need to understand, I think, is that you have to, don't go into running a business under the impression that you are not going to have to, you will have to work weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will have to work late nights. You've got to do the work that's necessary to make it successful. And that might mean having to do 6 weeks straight. But it might mean that.
But if, yeah, it's, if it's your baby, if it's the thing you want to do, I mean, I followed Gary Vee for ages because he was like doing that whole thing, and he just didn't do anything apart from his business, and he made money and the whole thing. And you talk about hustle porn, which is really good, because you don't want to be sitting there, you know, with your big cigar and your pizza box, you know, throwing money around the place. But Gary Vee was like, yeah, well, this is what I believe in, and I've got these hours in the tight day. He's also one for working smarter, not harder. But if it's the something, if you are serious about it, then but you, it's going to be, the trick is doing it, and it's not good. It's work, but it's not work because it's yours and you wanted to do this and everybody would like to start up, but you've got to do the grind and you've got to put the hours in.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think people make the mistake of thinking that harder and smarter are mutually exclusive. They're not. They can be the same. You can work smart and work hard. Okay, you can do both of those things. I think it's that thing of like, I always think the gym's a really good example. If you go to the gym, you'll see some people who go to the gym for 2 hours. And they'll be like, I'm going to the gym for 2 hours every day. And I'm like, you look at them, you're like, are you? Yeah. And then you get other people who go to the gym for like Dorian Yates. Obviously, yeah, he was roided up, but he was obviously Mr. Universe.
And he actually lives down here, by the way. So careful, because he'll come storming to this. I've interviewed him in this very studio. So, yep.
But amazing guy who said, I only go to the gym for 45 minutes.
Yep.
Because when he's there, he's just working so hard when he's there. And so I think it's that thing of like, when you are working, make sure you're actually working. That really put your time in. And also, but you work smart when you're there. And so you can do both. You can work smart and you can work hard.
The thing I want people to do, Tom, or Tomo, if I may call you that, is to go forth and buy the book. I mean, I could talk to you for the next half an hour, I think, but that would negate the prospect, because we want people to go and check it out. But if people want to do their own startup, it's a good time, isn't it? And if it's your dream, and if it's realistic, why not?
It's always a good time to start a business. It's always a good time to start a business, because if you have a product that people want and you believe you can make something and you can market to them appropriately, why wouldn't it be a good time? The only thing that dictates whether or not it's a good or bad time is you personally. Okay. If you don't have the time to do it, okay, and if you don't have the confidence to do it, it's not a good time. Okay. But if you do have the time to do it and you do have the confidence, then it's a great time.
The book is called How Not to Muck Up Your Startup. It's
by, sorry, I interrupted you.
It's quite all right. Yeah, I was just about to say, Lessons on Building Something Amazing. I had the subtitle here as well, with a very attractive little Lego man on the front cover as well, with his little unicorn on. I don't think you modeled that one, but there you go. Tom, if people want to find you online, obviously, and I don't want to have you hit by lots of LinkedIn going, find me an angel, but where can they follow you?
Yeah, so the best thing to do, if you want to buy the book, head to Amazon, Waterstones, wherever your usual purchase place is, to name the book. You can find me, you can find me at tomfairey.com. That's TOMFAIRE.com.
And it's also going to be available as a download from our own virtual bookstores. You can get your hands on it straight away. The book is called How Not to Up Your Startup. It's by Lessons on Building Something Amazing. It's bombed by Tom Ferry. You've got me pumped this morning, Tom. Well done indeed. Tom Ferry, thanks so much for your time today.
Brilliant. Thank you. Take care.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.